Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. No, sorry. Proverbs chapter 4 to start this morning. Proverbs is believed to be written by Solomon. And it was written, it's very practical. Gives us things to understand in life to so we can live. So, in verse 20 it says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." So, God would like us to attend to his words, pay attention to his words. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So we're to keep God's word in the midst of our heart. Would you like a Bible?
No, it's okay.
Okay. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So, you know, the word of God is, it goes beyond what we see sometimes and understand even. The word of God is powerful. It says in Hebrews, sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's true. God said he sent his word and healed them. Speaking about Israel and the wilderness. We may not fully understand all that, but God's word is powerful. And when you believe God's word, then you see the power of God in your life. It says, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the word keep there is to guard. It's to guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. The NIV translates it the wellspring of life. And another one, the American Revised Standard Version says the springs of life. You know, and there's an analogy there, because the physical heart, I mean, it's talking about the heart of our mind, the innermost part of our being. But there's an analogy or a parallel with the physical heart, because what comes out of the physical heart is the blood, and in the blood is life, right? And that's what goes throughout your whole body and keeps you going. And if that heart stops pumping, you die. Or if it is not, the you know, doesn't oxygenate your body, you know, gets all that around there. So it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, with vigilance. We're to guard our hearts, because out of it are the things that pertain to life. It's not just, you know, the passing thoughts, but the things that really matter in life. And where do we believe? In our hearts, right? We believe in our hearts. So we are to keep our hearts, we're to guard our hearts with all diligence, with great vigilance, because that's where life really matters. That's where we believe God. That's where we really hold things that are important. And, you know, everything we were taught years ago, everything gives off something, positively or negatively. And sometimes we are slipshod in what we allow into our life, the things we listen to, the things we read, the things we watch, the things that come into our house sometimes. There are godly things and there are ungodly things. You know, the stuff you put on your walls, the things that are on the TV, you know, whatever. They all give off something. And we are to guard our hearts, because whatever goes into your mind, if it goes in there enough, ends up in your heart, you know. And you really can determine what's in your heart. And so if you guard it, you're careful about what gets in there, what gets into your mind and gets into the innermost part of your being. You know, there are things that are important in life, right? There are things that you hold in your heart that are important. But there are things that get into your heart that aren't really important or aren't really godly. And that's what we want to guard against or be careful about. So with great care, In the Hebrew, it says literally, keep above all keeping your heart. You know, it's a figure of speech. It's the using the same word twice. Keep above all keeping your heart. Guarding with all your heart. So it's the vital things in life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Matthew, and Jesus Christ spoke about the heart. You know, sometimes people will, you know, somebody will do something and they'll do something really not nice or stupid or whatever, and somebody will say, well, he has a good heart, though. Well, that's debatable. Because if you do something that's really not nice, you know, that says something about your heart, doesn't it? If you're continually speaking bad things about people, that says something about your heart. If you're continually wandering down the road of perdition, that says something about your heart. Chapter 12 of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and in verse 33, Jesus Christ is speaking. And he says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit is corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. And, you know, if a tree produces good fruit, then it's a good tree, right? And if it's not producing good fruit, it's not a good tree. Remember, Jesus Christ went up to the fig tree and it had no, buds, yeah, any buds, and he knew there'd be no fruit, and so then he cursed it and it died. Then he goes on, verse 34, speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, O generation of vipers, and the word vipers is scorpions, it should be scorpions, O generation of scorpions, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Okay, so Jesus Christ lays it out pretty clearly, doesn't it? So if you're not producing good things, it's because you don't have good things in your heart. And if you recognize that and you want to change, then you have to change what you're putting into your heart. You know, you buy a car, and if you read the manual, it tells you what kind of gasoline to put in it, right? And so if you pull up to the gas station and you put diesel in it, and it's not a diesel car, what's going to happen? Bad stuff's going to come out the exhaust pipe like a big cloud of black smoke. Or even just simply, you know, you're supposed to put regular in a car and it's supposed to get high test. Or if you put high test in and it's supposed to get regular, it won't work right, will it? It will do bad things. See? You have to put good things in it. You have to put the right things in it. If you put good things in your body physically, good food, it helps you stay healthy and strong. If you put bad stuff in your body, bad things come out or bad things happen. So if you put good things in your heart, in your mind, which, you know, we saw in Proverbs was to be attentive to God's word and put God's word in your heart, then good things come out. It's pretty simple. So if we want to produce good things, then the good treasure of our hearts, we have to put things in there and we have to guard our hearts and be sure that we don't allow stuff to be in there that's not good. And sometimes that, you know, stuff that's not good doesn't look so bad on the surface, right? Sense knowledge-wise, it could, you know, seem to be really cool. Did you ever read the Communist Manifesto by Marx? Sounds great. It's like idyllic. It's going to be utopia. There's only one problem. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's been tried zillions of times, not zillions, but it's been tried and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It goes against the laws of God and nature and human nature. You know, it won't work. So it looks good, right? Many people have tried it, have thought this is the answer. It's not an answer to anything. There are lots of things in life that look good, but they're not according to God's word. They're not true. They're not good. So they're not God's word. And if it's not God's word, it's not going to work. It's not going to produce good fruit. Okay? So we need to focus our heart and determine what we put into it and what we don't. We have to be careful about it. If we desire to be spiritual men and women, then we need to focus on God's word and feeding our minds God's word. You know, we need to put that into our mind and hold it there. And, you know, we can read the word of God and not hold it, can't we? You know, it's like, I truly believe a lot of times people are not healthy because they don't chew their food well, me being included. But, you know, you're supposed to chew your food to help digest it. And like I watch my sons, you know, and they can't get it in fast enough and swallow it fast enough. And I'll say, chew your food, slow down. Because when you do, it works better. It's healthier. You got to do the right things. So we focus our heart and we determine what we put in it, and it should be the good things, God's word. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 23, we're going to read. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, and whatsoever ye do. Whatsoever means whatsoever, right? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The word heartily is the word sukes, which is a form of suke, which is normally or many times translated soul. But Bullinger says in certain cases, and this would be one of them, is used here with the intensive force to express all the powers of one's being. That's pretty cool, don't you think? So we could translate this, knowing that the Lord, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, do it with all your being, with all you've got, for you serve the Lord Christ. And of course, the context is whatsoever you do is not, you know, if I'm going to rob a bank, I'm going to do it heartily as unto the Lord Christ, right? I'm going to mug somebody in the... No. It means, you know, according to God's word, serving God, if you're doing or attempting to do for God, you do it with all you have. Okay? In Matthew, well, we're going to go there in a second. But so that's what it means. Then in verse 24, it says, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. See? So, we are serving the Lord Christ, and we get a reward as we do this. God rewards us. We don't do it for the rewards necessarily, but it's a benefit. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. We could have just stayed there, but we didn't. But it's not, let's see. I think I gave you the wrong verse, though, or the wrong chapter. Yeah, chapter 22. Chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. So in chapter 12, we saw that Jesus Christ talked about out of the treasure of a good heart, good things come forth, right? Out of a bad heart, treasure of a bad heart, bad things come forth. Chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 37. Well, verse 36, the lawyer says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And again, that word soul there is that word psuches, and it means, you know, with to the very best of your ability, with all your being. With all your being, you're to love God. All your being. See, that's what we are to do. That's what we're to put into our heart, that we love God, that we appreciate Him, we're thankful, we do our best to do what He would have us to do, not what we would have to do. Let's go to Titus. Go to the back, Titus. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. Okay, chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes, that's kind of nice, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in all malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Okay, so we all dealt with that stuff, right, at some time or another? Sometimes, not all the time. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. And what is that referring to? Jesus Christ, right? You know, the loving kindness of God our Savior. And that is Jesus Christ appeared. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done. He didn't send them because we were so good. On the contrary, sometimes we were all those other nasty things. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Then it goes on to say, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know, so he goes out here and he says, well, once upon a time you guys were just kind of messed up, but God sent His Son. And because He sent His Son, He saved us, and we were washed with regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We got changed on the inside, didn't we? You know, remember Jesus Christ confronted the Pharisees and He said, you know, you guys wash the cup and the plate on the outside and everything looks so great, but on the inside you're rotten, like whited sepulchers. And a whited sepulcher is what? It's a tomb where they bury dead people. What's on the inside of the tomb? A rotten body. The outside is whitewashed. It's, you know, painted white and it looks pretty. But the inside is just a dead body rotting away. And that's what He said they were. He said they needed to clean the inside first. They needed to clean out the inside. Well, that's what Jesus Christ did for us with His sacrifice. God sent Him and He paid the price. And when we believe, we are cleansed on the inside. We're washed clean with His blood, it says, right? And His blood could only wash us clean if it was what? Clean. If it was pure. And that's what He did for us. So because of that, because we're justified and we have the hope of eternal life, He says, be careful to maintain good works. Well, how do you have good works? You have to have the good stuff in your heart, right? You have to be willing, and good works are doing what God would have you to do, aren't they? It's not necessarily serving some charity or doing some community service, but it's doing what God would want you to do. That's a good work. Now he may tell you, go collect for the cancer fund or go work at the Salvation Army for a couple of days. I don't know. Whatever he would tell you to do, that's great. If he doesn't tell you to do it, though, then you're just spinning your wheels. Or he may say, go take somebody out to a nice dinner. That could be a good work if God told you to do it, couldn't he? Or, you know, go over and help somebody clean their house because they need help. You know, God can tell you to do all kinds of things. That's a good work. Again, not what the world necessarily says is a good work, but what God tells you to do is a good work. You speak the word to somebody and it changes their life. That's a really good work, see? Because that's what God tells us to do. Let's go to somewhere else. Romans chapter 6. You know, so we get born again and we are cleaned on the inside, aren't we? We have that regeneration, that renewing. But are we changed on the outside? You know, you get born again and you look in the mirror, I don't look any different. My hair didn't get nicer. It didn't get curlier or straighter, whatever you desire. You know, I didn't get thinner. I for sure didn't get any thinner. You know, that's not what it's about, is it? It's what's on the inside. But we do need to renew our mind then to God's word. If we're going to produce good works, if we're going to produce good things in our lives, we're born again, sure, we're justified, we're made righteous, we're sanctified, all those things. But then to manifest those things in life, to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we need to live it. We need to put it into our hearts and our minds. And that's to be the way we think and live. Because out of the heart come the treasures of life, right? The issues of life. And that's what counts. I say go to Romans chapter 6. Okay, Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Well, we could read verse 1 because it's talking about grace. You know, we were saved by grace. It's not by anything that we did. Did anybody here do enough to get saved? I didn't think so. Okay. So it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, you know, I can do whatever I want because I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. And if I screw up, if I sin, it doesn't matter. So I should just sin and have a good old time. What does God say? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're to be dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Christ Jesus, I should read Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. What happened? What is baptism? It's a washing. Yeah, it's an immersion. It's a washing cleanse, and it's referring to the Old Testament and when they would go into the temple and they would do their sacrifices or whatever else, they would have to be clean. They would cleanse themselves. Now, did they really cleanse themselves? No, it was a symbolic thing. It was acknowledging God and that they needed to be clean to go before God. But in reality, they didn't do anything except, you know, wash a little dirt off. That's why the Pharisees got so upset with Jesus Christ and the apostles, because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. And they thought, oh, that's a sin. So we were baptized in his death. When he died, he was submerged, right? He went into the ground. And as far as God's concerned, we went into the ground with him. That's why it says we were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. What kind of newness of life did Jesus Christ walk in? He had a new body, right? He had a new body. He had a new life. He no longer had what we would call soul life. He had a spiritual body. It wasn't just flesh and blood, but it was a spiritual body. And he had spiritual life. And we are to walk in that newness of life. Well, we only can do that if we put God's word in our hearts and minds and do what God tells us to do. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that's why we can say we have oneness with Christ. We are in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, the man of that deceit and lust and all that stuff, was crucified with Christ, with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We have been freed. You know, before you were born again, you were a slave to sin. You may not even know that you're a slave to sin. You're a slave to your desires, to your flesh. But once you're born again, God has rescued you from that. He has set you free. We studied that last couple of weeks ago in, when we were studying Romans here, and we went to this and we looked at something called manumission. And manumission is the systematic setting free of slaves. And it's pretty cool what Jesus Christ did. We should not serve sin. We should not be slaves to sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You know, if you actually died physically, you could no longer sin, could you? Now, maybe stuff that you did in your life would live on after you. You know, if you set up a crime syndicate or something like that, I don't know. But you can't personally sin anymore, can you? No, you're dead. So as far as God's concerned, we're dead to sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. You know, if we're dead with him, we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And you know what? Death no longer has dominion over us. If we live long enough, and, well, if we live long enough, at some point, if Christ doesn't come back, we're all going to fall asleep. However, we're going to rise up again. So when Christ comes back, it says the dead in Christ rise, and those that are still here are changed, right? In a moment, in a twinkling of eyes. So death really has no dominion over us. It has no more dominion over us. If you're not born again, if you're not saved, or you're not judged just in the judgments, then death will have dominion over you, and you will be dead forever. The opposite of eternal life is eternal death. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 6. It says, but now we are delivered from the law that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You know, what makes the difference between us now and us before? Holy Spirit. We have Holy Spirit in us, and that makes all the difference in the world. We have Holy Spirit, and we can manifest that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is proof to us that we are born again. And it's proof to us that we are going to heaven. It is proof to us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's all kinds of great stuff. When we were born again, we were changed spiritually because we received Holy Spirit. That's why God can say we are righteous. That's why he can say we're sanctified, because we have that Holy Spirit within us. He had to cleanse us, or he couldn't have put his Holy Spirit within us. That's how clean we have been cleansed. I said this last week, I guess, at the Day in the Word, but, you know, the old man died, but the old man thoughts die harder. You know, and sometimes we have to work a little bit harder at the habit patterns of the old man and the thoughts of the old man. The old man is literally and truly dead as far as God's concerned. But we keep his thoughts and his habit patterns alive in our life sometimes. And that's why God says we are to guard our hearts. That's why we are to be careful with our lives, to walk circumspectly and to keep God's word alive in our hearts and our minds. You know, if you remember back when you got born again, if those of you that got born again years ago and you got excited about God's word, if you're still not excited about God's word, why not? It's just as great today as it was then. And actually, it should be greater, because you should know more by now. You should believe more. You know, God is still great. God will still do great things in your life if you believe. Let's go back to Matthew again, chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Matthew. We just need to put the greatness of the truth of God's word in our minds and keep it there. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to, you know, read the word and say, wow, that's great. Or we hear a teaching, we go, that's great. And then half hour later, we've forgotten all about it. You know, you just got to keep it there. You got to remember it. You got to remember the promises of God. Is God any less God today than he was the day you got born again? No. Are the promises of God any less today than they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago? No, they're not. We should still see the great things happen in our lives. But, you know, we have to be actively involved with God. We have to look for things. We have to be looking to serve him and be convinced of the word in our life. You know, convinced. You know, this is God's word and I'm going to do it. And I don't care what it looks like sense knowledge wise. I'm going to do it. Chapter 6, verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. We're good about that, aren't we? Laying up treasures on earth. You know, things that are valuable on earth, sense knowledge things. You got your IRA, you got your, what's it called, 401k. You got your SEP, that's a self-employment, whatever it is. You got 16 life insurance policies, and you got your annuities. And you got all this stuff, you know, and you got your bank accounts, your savings account, your money market account, your mutual funds, laying up treasures on earth, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't have any of that stuff, but you can go overboard with it, can't you? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. And Bishop Pillay used to teach that moth and rust were fear and doubt and worry. And thieves were doubt. Yeah, okay. So anyway, all that stuff. Fear, worry, doubt. But in contrast, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your heart, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, where your treasure is where, you know, how much time do you spend, you know, figuring out your physical, earthly treasures and how important is it to you? And then think about, you know, where God's word is in your life and how important that is to you. That's where your heart is, right? I mean, it's very simple, very cut and dry. You know, you can figure it out for yourself. Nobody has to do it for you. You don't have to go online and find some calculator. Okay, let's go to Proverbs again, chapter 23. Almost done. Proverbs chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 17. It says, let not thine heart envy sinners. You know, you ever envy a sinner? Wow, look at that guy. Look at the car he has and the house he has and the vacations he takes. All that stuff. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. How long? All the day long. In contrast to being in envy of sinners, we are to have great awe and respect for God all day long. That's what the word fear means there. Be awe in great respect of God. For truly there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. And the word guide there is pretty interesting. It's declare or make thine heart happy. So if you do those things, your heart will be happy. If you do God's word, if you have great awe and respect for God, you're going to be happy. It'll make your heart happy. Let's go to Philippians. We'll close in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, it says, brethren, chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or understood or grasped, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, we forget the things. You know, I used to always think this was, you know, I forget about what a terrible person I was. The guilt, or that I was such a terrible sinner, or that kind of stuff. But also, I should forget about, you know, where I enjoyed sin. I want to forget about that too. Because there were times when, you know, you did something stupid or, you know, went out and just acted like an idiot and had fun, but it was really not godly. Did you ever do that? Well, you've got to forget about those things. I like to forget about those things too. I want to remember that I thought it was such a great thing, because that's kind of embarrassing when I go back and think about it. So, you know, you forget those things which are behind, everything that's behind. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday or last week or last month. You know, it really is irrelevant at this point. Once you're born again, everything that was past is past forever. It's done. It's over with. The only thing we should remember is that God rescued us and took care of us and saved us, and that we can be thankful for that. Otherwise, all the other stuff is a waste of time. So we forget those things which are behind, and we reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, in Corinthians, it says seek to excel, right? It says seek to excel, and it's talking about spiritual things, really talking about the manifestations of Holy Spirit. But we should seek to excel in our walk with God every day. You know, we should never be satisfied in our walk. We should always want to be able to do more, to bless God more. And, you know, the more we look to do for God, the more He blesses us. And you know, sometimes we get so focused in, I need this and I need that and I need to do this and somebody needs to do this for me. And you know what? The great blessings in life and the great deliverance of life is when we're giving, when we're reaching out, when we're looking to serve God. That's when we see God's greatness really live in our lives. That's when we see real deliverance. Verse 15, therefore, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, which means mature, be thus minded, you know, thinking. And if anything... And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind, let us think the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And we just walk to the best of our ability together, and we look at those people that are great examples to us of listening to God and believing God. And in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we're to think about. The positive things of the truth of God's word. That's what we're to think about. And when we think about them, that's how we get them in our mind and in our heart, and we hold them there. We're to guard our hearts, to be diligent with our hearts. We need to do that because the world will screw with us. It will try to distract us from what's true. Okay? So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us your word so that we can learn how to live and to walk with you. We thank you, Father, for showing us how we can keep you first in our lives, how we can guard our hearts and walk forth with boldness, how we can have the spiritual treasures in our heart and produce the spiritual fruit in our lives, the good fruit that you want us to produce and that we want to produce. We thank you, Father, that we can see the greatness of your word and see it clearly and precisely, and that we can walk forth upon it. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.